Let me just tell you where the emphasis for this subject came from. It's actually what we're seeing, what I'm seeing in our Sunday school class, and I've told you a little bit about it before, but we've grown and we got good numbers in our Sunday school class. And of course, we're thankful for that because we all know it comes from God. But as we've grown, in Sunday school, we've also got to a point where we kind of look around at each other and say, okay, what's next? We've grown, but what's next? And we have some people in our class that are answering that call. They're saying, okay, let's go into ministry. Let's do some things. And to bring it, you know, more clearly into focus is exactly the study we've been doing on Romans that Paul is doing. Paul spends the first, I don't know how familiar you are with the book of Romans, but Paul spends the whole first part of the book teaching us what the gospel is and how it's non-negotiable and how we've got to believe it as a people in order to follow Christ. Paul is dead set on that. He's dead set on teaching doctrine. But if you don't have doctrine, you don't have anything to hang on to. You don't have a standard to look at. So Paul was kind of doing that. And then all of a sudden, when he gets to, say, chapter 11 and chapter 12, Paul kind of changes tone a little bit and says, okay, now that you've got the doctrine, now that you got to understand what the gospel is and your believers in Christ, this is what we got to do to be successful. And he gives some things, how to live a Christian life, that I actually think in our Sunday school we're seeing evidenced right now. We're seeing relationships grow that probably, you know, by all the restraints that we have in our life, that they'd be kind of, you know, strange if they did grow, but they are. And we're seeing that kind of thing happen, and I'm very excited about it. You know, we are organizing as a body to do something for God, not for ourselves, but to do something for God. And I was thinking about this time of year. We all have trips and vacations, and well, most of y'all have trips and vacations. I'm probably not going to fit on that list this year. But most of us have a dream place we'd like to go before, you know, our last day. We look at it, and it's really some, you know, some people Hawaii, some people have different things. I read about a guy who wanted to see all the military academies where they were and how they. And then I read about people that want to go to historical. So I'd like to go to Boston myself. I'd like to see where they threw the tea and all that, you know. But people have dreams about where they'd like to, you know, where they'd like to go. I got a couple more, but it'll bore you to death with mine because they're strictly mine, and it would probably make no sense to anybody else whatsoever. But we've all got this dream place. A lot of people have Hawaii. They haven't been. A lot of people have different things. I know with Sharon, it's got to have a beach. Wherever we go, it's got to have a beach. It doesn't. If it's Boston, we got to form a beach somewhere. But she's got to have that, and that's all right because I kind of like that too. But you know what if. What if we just looked at where our dream location was and realized it's not a dream? What if we just realized, hey, this is something we can do? And I bring that up tonight because I believe God has us all on a journey. We're taking a trip for Him. We're all in this journey together. And this journey, if we really do what it's supposed to do, then we don't have to dream about it. We can live it. We can be a part of something that is great and a destination that is even greater. But unless you go, it's not enough for us to just say, okay, I'm going. I'm saved. That's the end of that. Let's move right on to the next lesson. It's not like that, I don't believe. Obviously, it's great for you to be saved if you are, and I'm happy for that if you are. But the destination or this vacation or trip we go on, this journey, is only as good as the people we go with. You ever had vacations like that? You wonder about going with somebody in your family. And family members, they're usually the worst people in the world go, you know, because you hard to get along with them. But you got these people that come with the vacation, they go and it's strange and it doesn't work out right, all because you couldn't find a medium to get along together. Because when we go on vacation, most of the time we want to do what we want to do, right? I don't want to do what other people want. I want to do what I want to do. And that's kind of the way, that's kind of the way this is. But this journey that we're taking for God is significant, because you can't just think about it in the my I version. You got to think in the we version. And you have to do something together, I believe, in order to begin the journey that we all need to address. And in doing that, we need to point out some regrets that can happen in Christian relationships. That's kind of what I want to do tonight. If you got your outline, and I think it's in purple tonight. Jimbo's got some in the back. If you don't have one, raise your hand. He'll get it for you. But the Christian relationships, just what I want to spend just a moment talking about. And guys, I know when the basketball game comes on, you'll be home in time. I'll tell you that now. Don't worry. I want to see it too. But I want us to take a look at how we get along with folks. Now, we know that we were thinking about this the other day, and we talked about this. People, different people, you come into church and you sit in the same place most all the time. Am I right? Is that your seat? Is it? Sure do think it is, don't we? But if somebody else were to come in and they were visiting our church, would you give up your seat for them? Sure you would. It's really not yours. You know, it's everybody's. We're all in this thing. We're all in this thing together. Now, when we look at Christian relationships, I want to look at the first verse, and it's kind of out of place right here, but I want you to see this, because there's some things in there that I want to look at as far as Christian relationships are concerned. Romans 8:28, top of your page, says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose." Now, here's the way this usually goes. I love that first part. We know that in all things, God works together for the good to those who love him. And we just like to leave it right there, wouldn't we? Because that gets us. He's doing everything. And Paul is over here in chapter 8 telling us, after all the gospel that I've shared with you and the doctrine I've shared with you, now I'm going to tell you that all things work together for the good for all those who love God. So all we got to do is just pronounce that we love God, and everything's going to work for the good. But if we do that, we're leaving off the last part. And the last part is important. It's got to be there. The last part says, you know, we're called according to his purpose. So it's not enough to just declare our love for God. We've got to fit into the purpose somewhere, and we've got to have a purpose for God. And I think that says everything about what we do when we're looking at relationships. Paul addresses the doctrine, and then he addresses how you're supposed to get there. He tells us exactly how to get there. If you read on in chapter 12, he begins in chapter 12 with how you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, how you transform your mind by the renewing of your mind every day, transform yourself, and he gets into the nitty-gritty of how it's done there. But now, I will tell you, there's some things I think we can do in relationships that will help us bond together as a people. And some of the things, like I said, I'm seeing actually happen in my Sunday school class. And it's a gratifying thing to see. What if, I'm looking at you both in there, what if God healed my relationships? What if God healed my relationships? Now, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again, but God could. You believe that? You believe God can heal a relationship? Of course, God is a restoring God. He's a restoration person. That's what he's all about. So if you've got a relationship with someone that's a little bit frosty, and they don't really know the reason why, but you've held in something back from 10 years ago, and this happened, and all of a sudden they're in Sunday school with you, and you know, I'm telling you that you got to love one another as God loves you, and all of a sudden you're realizing that. But we got to understand this. In our relationships, God can be in the restoration business. He can put you back together again with someone if it's according to his purpose. Then the second thing, God, what if God showed us our purpose together? Now here's the, here's the thing that most people want to say, I don't have a clue what God's will is for me. Well, who does? If you don't have it and God hasn't shown it to you yet, where is it? It might be because you're not in the group that you're supposed to be in, where God has got your will. God has a will for every one of us. I know that's a point of discussion, and I understand that to a certain point. But folks, God has a purpose and a will for every one of us. He didn't make us differently for any other reason. He made us that uniquely that way for his purpose, to carry out his purpose. So God, he shows us our purpose together. And if he does that, then we could accomplish it together. Not separately, but together. I think God always wanted us to act in a group. He's a plural type God. That's the way it's always been. He's always addressed his people. And I think that's very evident. Now this purpose, this word purpose that we see there is actually interpreted in the Greek. It's showbread. The showbread, I want you to see this. Showbread was in the Ark of the Covenant with God's people in the Old Testament. It was found in the Ark of the Covenant, and it was loaves of bread that were set up and cut as supposedly to represent sustenance for God's people. They were going to sustain the people. It was located in the Ark and kept there, and it was baked fresh and get rid of some of the old, and they kept it there on purpose to show God's sustenance. And I believe that's kind of what it's in here to do. If we're God's people, and God's called us to do good, and everything's going to be good as long as we're called according to his purpose, then we can sustain our life in Christ. We can be the showbread, so to speak. We can find out what the purpose is if we understand it as a relationship with other people. And that's what we have to do. Third thing I put down there, what if God used us to make a difference? What if God actually used us to make a difference? Now, I know there's many of you who say, you know, I don't get that. God couldn't use me for anything. I'm not worth a penny, and I'm not this, and I'm not that. That's kind of the rotation we get into when you hear that said. But let me assure you, folks, God can use you. I don't care what you look like, where you came from, how you talk, or any of that. God can use you. And God wants to use you. The only thing standing between him and using you is you. When you surrendered yourself to do that, then God certainly will use you. Our Savior, our journey in this life becomes more clear when we know where we're going. If you go on vacation, and I tell you tomorrow, you got 3-4 weeks, take off on vacation. You say, yeah, I'm going. Where are you going? Well, I don't know. Well, how are you going to leave from here? Well, I'm going on vacation. And I say that for you to see this. If we all said, we're going to go serve God somewhere, where'd you end up? Well, we ended up here, didn't we? We're all here tonight. We ended here. So we have to kind of have the same destination where we're going. And that's what we have, is the same. We all want the same things, folks. It's important to us to do the same things. We're all headed on a journey for God, and God's going to take us, and he's going to do something with us. And it's important that we learn to get along with one another so we can do that, okay? Look at Lamentations 5:21 in the Message Bible. It says, bring us back to you, God. We're ready to come back, and give us a fresh start. Now, I love that word fresh right there, because every start should be fresh. God can give us a fresh start. In other words, not the same old thing. Let's don't do the same old thing or act the same old way. There's only one way to be different, folks. And that's not keep from doing the same thing you're doing over and over again. If you're doing the same thing over and over again, then you're not different. You're the same. In order to be different, you know, we kind of, like in our Sunday school I'm talking about, we're kind of looking for a way that we can serve God. We're not sure what all the ways are yet. But we're looking, and we want to stay together in that service. We want to be mindful of it. So we're purposely organizing into ministry groups to do certain things. Because I'll be honest with you, I hope it's done the class that way. The book of Romans, I've taught probably twice in my life, but the book of Romans has written itself again on my heart. It's a lot of things I never saw before. And it's, I think it's so good to sometimes have a fresh start where we do away. Now, here's how it goes in relation. If we have a fresh start in relationships, we do away with all the things we knew. All the things we knew. Let's start over again. Let's start fresh. And if we do that, God's going to bless what we do. And he's going to do things that we never dreamed possible. Now, this thing I put on your notes next was, how do we live with no regrets? Living a relationship with no regrets. Getting along with each other with no regrets. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:10 there. And it says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Now what he's trying, I think, Paul's getting over there is that, you know, if you do things in the world, you do things out on your own, then you're going to come back with sin because that's what the world's made of. And you're going to regret it. But now, if you live according to God and you turn yourself toward him, then that repentance that you're, that turning away from the world and turning toward God, that repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret whatsoever. None. So that is a fresh start, isn't it? This no regrets thing. Now, the next three or four topics I'm going to show you are all having to do with having a relationship without regrets. A Christian relationship without regrets. First one, set a God first priority. That goes with what I just said. Set a God first priority. We need to tell God he's number one, but we also need to show him that he's number one. Your life should look like he's number one, not anywhere down the list. He needs to be number one. It's a pathway in this life, folks, that God has for us. Howard and I were going into our new building, and it's not quite finished the other day, and it was kind of dark as you walked in there, and I looked above the doors, and there were exit signs that were lit up. They're little signs, just, you know, if I got lost and didn't know how to get out of it, and I didn't, but you know, if you did, all you got to do is look for the exit signs and it'll carry you out. God's kind of got exit signs showing us too. What he's showing us is, hey, if you make God a priority first, you know what you're doing is right. You will know what you're doing is right. Look at Matthew 22, 36 and 39 there. It said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we would all profess to do the first one, wouldn't we? We wouldn't want to profess not to do it. You know, we'd say, we got to love the Lord our God. We got to love him first. With everything we are, with every part of us, we've got to love him first, or it's never going to work. But here's what gets left behind sometimes with that. It's that second part. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's hard for us to do, folks, because we love ourselves. Don't be mistaken. You love yourself. And here's what it spills over to do a lot of times. We end up loving people that are like us. Don't you? Become friends with folks that you can relate to because they're like you are. They do things like you. They like the same interest. They want to do certain things, and you become friends with those people. I'm not saying you shouldn't become friends with them. I'm just saying let's be careful that we put the second part in there, because if you don't put it in there, the first part's not going to work. You're not going to have anybody else to love. You say, I love God. I ain't loving anybody else. God's going to say, no, I didn't put you on earth to be by yourself. He didn't put man here by himself. He didn't put you here either by yourself. He put you to be a part of a group, a functioning group. I love what Philippians 2:3, I didn't put it in your notes, but it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And we really have a problem with that, don't we? We're going to say somebody else is better at what we're doing and what we do. That's difficult. But that's what it says do. So in order for us to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we've got to balance some priorities here. And you know, you must consider the moment and consider what's more important. Now, I know there are ladies sitting out here right now, and if I mention the word wedding, you know, you just, you know, you go almost tears, right? Whether you've had one or not, or, you know, whatever, you go to tears. I came in the other day, and Sharon was watching this, what's this, Say Yes to the Dress. Y'all, every lady in here is saying it, and the men are going, what? You know, Say Yes to the Dress. This is where a girl goes in, and they do her story, and she goes in and tries on, you know, 15, 20 wedding gowns and waits 2 or 3 hours or whatever, and then says, this is the one I want. And she starts crying. But if you heard the prices, it shouldn't be her that's doing the crying. It should be her dad. This is $15,000. I'm going to furnish your house. You're $15,000 for a wedding dress? Are you kidding me? But let me tell you this. I know this. I've done this once. Grooms, somebody please lead us where to go. Just tell us where to go. March us down the aisle and have us say as little as possible. And don't make this mistake. Don't say your vows and not look at your wife. June the 11th, we'll be married for a long, long time. Me and Sharon, there's not a day goes by that she doesn't remind me that I never looked at her. Hey, I was looking for the exit signs. You know what I'm saying? But see, you see what I'm saying? Some things are important to some people, and other things are important to other people. We're not all the same, but we got to somehow learn to improvise so that what is important to our neighbor, we make it important. We let it be a good thing. You know, we need to let everyone around us, we need to try this. Let them come first. What if we let everybody around us come first and we followed after that? Then what all could you reckon we could get done for God? Oh, man, it'd be incredible what we could do. Second thing, invest in relationships. Invest in relationships. Now, 1 Samuel 18:3 there in the New Living Testament says, and Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Well, he met the criteria, didn't he? He loved God and he loved David as he loved himself. You know, that's hard to find, especially in scripture, but it's great right there. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him and he loved himself as he loved himself. He loved him as much or more than he loved his own self. And when you got, let me tell you this, folks, you can call it whatever you want to call it. You can give it whatever pretty name you want to give it. You know, in agape, they call it the agape love, the Greek love. But let me tell you something. It's just when you love somebody that way, you're actually loving them, you know. You love somebody all on your terms, that's not, I don't believe that's love. I just don't believe it is. And I think that's what he's talking about here. We got to consider what's more important here. Now, this investing in relationships, and I put three things there for you with some blanks in them there, because I think these are the three things that we need to do in order to love others the way God wants us to love them, okay? First thing is be intentional. Be intentional. Now, this doesn't come to us naturally. I said that. So we must be able to do it intentionally. Don't wait for the sign. Don't wait for the feeling. Feelings will let you down, folks. They will let you down. Don't wait for them. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do something. Now, if I go into a store and I see a sign that says roses $9.99, that is God talking to me. You know what I'm saying? First of all, for the roses to be $9.99, it must have been a God thing, because they don't sell them for that. But if I see roses $9.99, and I know what you're thinking, guys. You're saying, yeah, I'm going to give all that money for those roses, and I'm buying something that's dying already. And you're right, it is. If it wasn't, why they put that little pack of stuff in there with them when you put them under water, you know? But let me tell you something. Your wife knew that they were dying, and she probably knew that there was a better something you could spend with your money for and all that, but she expects you to get them. Am I right, ladies? You expect them. You want to see them. You go, I don't know, every time I bought Sharon that she'd say, well, you wish you hadn't bought those. Never going to happen. When you see roses 999, God is speaking to you guys. Don't wait. Don't think. Pay the money. Go get them and take them home. Okay? And if whatever it is, whatever day that is, just wish your wife the best day it could possibly be. If it's not a day, then tell her you just suddenly realize how much you loved her. And give her the roses. Now, if you don't see signs like that, and you can't, you have trouble with that. Now, here's what I think you need to do. The first thing, I think you need to put time into it. Now, if you ever hear someone tell a story and you want to help them finish telling it, do you want to, you ever thought about that? You ever have someone tell a story and you want to help them? There's some people I meet and they start talking. I'm a talker now. And I hear them telling something and I know what the end is already. You know, I want to help them. I want to get to it for them. I want to help them so bad. But if you do that, it's rude. You know, you don't want to do that. But we end up doing with it. That's what we end up doing. And we sometimes need to put a little time invested in people to where we listen to them fully. Let them get it out, however long it takes. Just listen to it. Sometimes that's all people want. They just want a little bit of your time. Don't ignore them. If we're going to invest in people, it takes time. So we're going to have to give them a little. The last thing I put down there was, in order to invest in relationships, we need to stick with it. Now, the first sign of a stumble in your relationship, don't run out of the relationship the first time you stumble over a little something, you know. Now, I'm not talking about husbands and wives now. I'm talking about Christian folks, your brothers and sisters in Christ. First time one of them makes a mistake, then, you know, forgive them. Go on and move on with it. Now, that's investing in relationships. Number three says start now. When do we do it? Start now. In your Christian relationships, the journey starts now. Do something new. Do something new. Now look at 1 John 3:18 there in the New Living Testament. It says, let us stop just saying we love each other and let us really show it by our actions. Did you like that? Now, aren't we guilty sometimes of just saying that we love people? And we don't, there's nothing about us that shows them that we love them. And we do that, don't we? Christians especially do that because we use the word a lot. We throw the word around. Wouldn't it be nice if every time we said, oh, I love you, we really meant it? If we meant it from the heart. If we meant it because we are the people of God. And God requires us to do that. God doesn't just hint to us, if you get a chance, love somebody else. No, no, no. God says that's the commandment. You hear what Jesus said? That's my commandment. Now, and another one here goes along with it. Love everybody else as you love yourself. Love your God, then love yourself. He put the commandment in that, two commandments there in that one statement. God commands us to love each other. So we need to start now. Now, I put three things there for you. I want you to look at this, and hopefully they'll help you. When you think of something to say that is good, when you think of something that's good, say it. Say it. Don't wait until something gets better, maybe I should have said that. No. If you think something's good about somebody, or they do something very good, or that you're impressed about this or that, say it. Tell them. Don't hold back. You might not even want to say it the next time. Tell them when you're blessed. Tell them. Say it to them. We were talking about, not this complete lesson, but we were talking in Sunday school Sunday. And some of the members of my class were in here, and we did the meet and greet. And I had a couple of them come up to me and hug me, and they said, I love you. Did you hear me? I said, yeah, I heard you. I did. I love you, and I mean it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, okay, I got it. You know, I got the clue. I love you. That's the way it is, you know. Now, the second thing I put in there, when you think something is special, do it. If you have a talent to do something that no one else has, and you know you've got it, and you don't see anybody else fighting to do it, do it. Be a part of what God's people should be. Turn around and do it. Don't wait. Don't say, you know, I'm going to wait till somebody asks me to do it. No. Go ahead and do it. Show somebody you can do it. And that's very important. Next thing, when you want something different, be it. If you want people to love you more, love them more. Just be it. You want something to be different, then be it. You know, you can't be a friend. You can't befriend anybody unless you are a friend. You need to be that. And if we find out, hey, I want to be loved better, I want people to speak to me better in a Christian manner, then that's how you should speak and see how that works and see if that will draw it all in. But be it. Now, Isaiah 43, 18, 19, I put there for you. And here's what it says. It says, but forget all that is nothing compared to what I am going to do. God's saying, Prophet Isaiah saying, God's telling him, all that you've done, you say, I'm saying I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new, fresh start. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? And a lot of people are going, oh, I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen it yet. I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. What God's saying is, hey, just because the pathway doesn't look straight right now and because you can't find your way doesn't mean I'm not working on it. He said, I'm going to do something great. God, I believe, is going to do something great to a group of people that combine themselves in love and say, hey, I want to serve you. And Lord, we want you to work through us. We want you to do your will through us. Just show us what it is, Lord, and we'll be about it. We'll be it. Please show us that. Now, That is so very important for us to understand because, you know, God sees something good in everybody. He created us. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, he doesn't know so-and-so. I know them, and they're horrible. Mike, you know they are. They're terrible. And you can't get along with them if you try. It's just, you know. And I'm going to tell you, God doesn't distinguish that way. He loves everybody. The ground at the cross is level, folks. He doesn't love you more than he loves somebody else. He loves us all. And we need to understand that. And in doing that, we don't need to know, wait till we get on the feeling to let somebody know. We need to let somebody know we love something about them. It's natural for us to respond that we don't like it because that's not us, you know. So you know, we need to do that and let them know that God is working. He wants to do a great thing inside us, and we need to be about doing it. It's, you know, don't stay and wait and, you know, be about doing it, okay? Fourth thing, and I'm done. Now, this is most important. Keep no records of wrong. Keep no records of wrong. Now, what does that mean? That means do not keep any records of the person you're getting along with in your group. Keep no records of what they've done wrong. Even if they've done the wrong to you, keep no records of it. Because if you hang on to the records, then you're never going to find a relationship with them. You're never going to be in Christian relationship because something's always going to be standing in the way. Well, you don't realize how bad they mistreated me. Forget it. Keep no record of the wrong that was done you. I didn't say that was easy. That's not easy. Because we have all probably had people that did things to us that you know, certainly weren't pleasing, and they were terrible. You know, be careful, folks. You might be going to church with them one day. Be careful in this, too. You definitely will be going to heaven with some of them one day. Okay? And if you can't get along with them here, folks, heaven's going to be a problem. You know? We're going to need to get along with each other, and we're going to get along with each other in heaven. That's a lead pipe cinch. If our God looks at us and keeps no record of wrongs because he doesn't see our sin that's been forgiven us by his son Jesus' death on the cross, if he keeps no record of wrongs, who are we to think we can do it? We should keep no record of it. Now, I heard this story. A lot of you know what a dry erase board is. This young man was in the ninth grade, and he was about to go to his first dance ever. It was a homecoming dance coming, and he was kind of nervous about who he was going to ask and all this. And so he got a dry erase, a little small dry erase board, and he put it right as you go into the classroom where this girl would see it. And he took his name and wrote, his name was Kyle, I think. And he wrote Kyle across the dry erase board, but he wrote it in a permanent marker. Then he wrote a bunch of his friends' name down right under him. He wrote their name in dry erase. And then at the bottom, he put erase the board. And so this girl that he was wanting to go to the dance with, she comes in and takes the eraser. Here she goes. She's doing what the board told her to do. And she erased it. Guess whose name was left up there? It was Kyle's. And you know, he found somebody. He kind of rooked somebody into going to the freshman dance with him. All because he put a dry erase up there. That's kind of, the board's kind of, I think, what God wants us to do, folks. He wants us to dry erase all these memories of people doing us wrong. When we think about ourselves as Christians, brothers and sisters, we got to erase all that. We can't let little things like that keep us from being the kind of people that God wants us to be and also achieving the thing for God that he knows he can achieve with us. We've got to keep no record of wrongs. Now look at 1 Corinthians 13:5. I put there. It says, love doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, and doesn't keep score of the sins of others. That's Paul's version of that. Proverbs 10:12 said, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. Love covers all wrongs. And then Psalm 130:3 in the New Living Testament says, Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, O Lord, who could ever survive? Who, O Lord, could ever survive a record of our sins? Not one of us, folks. So why in the world are we keeping a record of somebody's sins against us? Let me ask you to do this. From what you've heard tonight, I want to encourage you to be a part of something that's very special. Most of our small groups here are Sunday school classes. Some of them are not. The men's Man Cave Ministry, and there's some other things that are different small groups, but get in a small group and get busy with something that God wants you to do in the church and outside the church, okay? And to do that, you got to have relationships with folks. And let's try to do it in a Christian way, okay? I hope that helps you a little bit tonight. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you tonight for this opportunity to come and, Lord, to worship and to gather as a people in your name. We praise you, Lord, that you love us, you always hear us, and Father, that you're mighty God, that there is nothing that stands in your way when you have a devoted people who love one another, who are wanting to do something for the cause of Christ. Father, we thank you so much for that. Bless those, Lord, now that are sick. Many are hurting in our congregation, in our group. We pray that you would be with each and every one of them, Lord. And Lord, just point out to them what a mighty God you are. That's all really that needs to be done. And in doing so, Lord, you'll be healing things. You'll be healing feelings. You'll be healing sickness. You'll be healing all kinds of relationships. Lord, you'll be God the healer, the restorer that we know you are. Bless our time together. Bless these that have gathered tonight. I thank you for them.